This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 673 for property ID 10958320. The property is owned by Lawrence L. Aberg and Betty Aberg. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Larry Aberg present over the phone. And if we could go ahead and have you raise your right hand. I know we can't see you, but we'll go ahead and get you sworn in.
Okay. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. Overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. If the assessor has that same 30 days to appeal, if he doesn't like our decision. So, okay. If you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Assessor's report from 2021 says the median price increase in our area was 12%. The realtors were telling me it was less than that, but I used 12% for my calculations. So I took the previous value for land and structures and increased it by 12%. The assessor is asking for 44.47% increase. So this is the reason for the appeal. So when I came up with the 12% increase for land and structures, I also did put in a woodworking shop, which I finalized last year. And we started that in, it's permitted with the city. We started that in 2019, and it took a couple of years. Our cost for the shop, including labor, was $23,000. I used $23,500 in my cost estimate and added that onto the 12% increase. And I come up with the number of $650,627 for the valuation of the property.
Okay.
I don't have any questions.
I just want to point out one thing on your comparable properties. I know they're in that same price range. You have a one-level or a ranch-style residence, and these are all two-level. When you do comps in the future, you should get comparable ranch properties that are comparable to yours, because two-story are a little bit cheaper to build.
They weren't, I looked, there was very little to choose from within the sale time frame, within a year, so there wasn't anything to choose. So,
you gotta do the best you can, but I'm just saying that you need to try to find the one levels at all possible. I mean, you can go out a little further, distance wise from your property.
On your comparable number one, you got 3,800 square feet. Is that including the detached apartment?
Hang on, let me find comparable number one.
Yeah,
I have it right here. No, it does not.
So that's total square footage of the main structure and not this main structure and the detached apartment.
Yes.
Okay.
So go back, if we go back to what your original statement was, the residential, so the way my wife and I looked at it is the only way that the tax assessor could do this kind of valuation is the woodworking shop got permitted last year. So that's how we went to look for properties that had detached buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So we put more emphasis on that versus trying to get the house to match an existing sale, and it was very difficult this year.
Yep.
What's the size of your shop? Just
18 by 32 or 36.
Okay.
It's used as a storage building right now with my brother's belongings. He passed away from COVID last spring, so it's basically a storage unit at this point. In addition, the tax assessor keeps saying our property is 0.46 acres. It's not. It's 0.36. And I've put a written request to have it changed, but they don't seem to do anything. It's all on the permitted plans.
Do you have documentation of that?
Of that? It's on the permitted plans. That's with the city.
For your house or for your garage?
The whole property is 0.36 acres. The house is all permitted through the city, as well as the woodworking shop.
But that's clearly in the records of the county?
City. We're in the city limits, not the county limits.
Oh, city. Okay, it's in the city of Vancouver. I'm not sure that's going to make much difference in the value, but if you've got some documentation that shows that, you should send it into the assessor's office so they can correct the record.
I did. Okay. It 3 years ago. And they don't want to change it.
Just keep doing it. Yeah.
Yep.
They're not too responsive. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any more questions.
No, I have no more questions.
All right. Thank you.
I'm good. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 674 for property ID 986056448. The property is owned by Yehua Chang and Vivian Q. Shi et al. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but and no one present for the appellant, so I will go ahead and hand it to the board.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Both there.
This is the March 3rd hearings of the 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 683 for property ID 357-71488. The property is owned by Matthew W. Cronin and Victorine M. Cronin. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Vicki Cronin present over phone for the appellant. So I know we can't see you, but go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent of the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has the same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like it. So, unless you have a question, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, thank you very much. I had appealed. I had just bought this condo in 21, and so when I bought it in 2020. And so I was not living in it when the taxes were assessed, and I bought it and had it appraised. And so I met with you, the board, a year ago, and you looked at my appeal and put it close to the assessment that was it was assessed for me to buy it. So you changed the value for me back to the $359,900, which was my purchasing price. So the value in 22, the previous value, the one that I had appealed, was said it was supposed to be $413,500. And then on that notice of value, it said for 22, then it would go up to $429,900. So when you redid my assessment, it went down from $413,000 to $359,900. But then the new value again just jumped back up to $429,900 instead of for the next year, instead of taking into effect that into account that it had been you guys had made a reassessment on it for me. I've also included a couple units that have been purchased. The one that is a higher value in the 500s, again, that is a full river view. I am on the north side with the railroad tracks, and so the one that had been sold was valued at $389,000. So because I did have to have it repiped and I had put $30,000 into it, you know, I was thinking my value would be closer to the $389,000, like the sold price of what I sent you, and not the $420,000, because $420,000 was a reflection of what was prior, if that makes any sense.
Yep. Makes perfect sense.
Oh, thank you.
And what, I'm trying to look on here, what floor was the other unit on?
What I showed you.
I'm trying to find it on here, but I don't see it.
Okay. Well, the copies that I have.
423, I'm sorry. It's in the same complex on 423, so it's on your same floor.
Yes, right. And it is the same. Yes, and it's the same territorial view, not even though it says, I have to remember, one of these says, oh, the view says river. That's not true. It's on the same side of the building as mine.
Okay.
It's a territorial view. And then there was another for $359,000 that was a territorial view.
Okay.
Now, is your car storage just open spaces in the garage?
Yes, they are. We have one. You can purchase a garage apart. I don't have one. I just have one below ground parking space.
And you have an elevator access to your unit floor, right?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I have no further questions.
I don't have any more questions. Explained it very well.
Oh, well, thank you. I didn't feel like I did, but thank you very much.
Okay. You okay, Lisa?
Yep. I don't have any questions. Made perfect sense.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll let you get back to saving lives.
I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 684 for property ID 214-028-000. The property is owned by Donald Edward Janowick and Dawn Marie Janowick. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Dawn Marie Janowick and Donald Edward Janowick present over the phone for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to, go ahead and raise your right hands and we'll get you sworn in.
I guess we could speak first.
Well, no, just raise your right hand right now. I'll swear you in.
Oh, okay.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. No, I don't have any questions. Well, one of the reasons... Go ahead.
No, tell us whatever you want to.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons appealing is when we talked to the essayer after we got this appraisal, I had mentioned the fact that we have... It's close to 1 acre wetland that they said they didn't have information on. And I know because it showed up before. So I don't understand. She just told me that they were told that everything in Richfield is just prime property. And then that's how they appraised it. Also, the fact that they raised property value by 80% this year, and we've been here for 9 years.
So this wasn't a home you were building, recently finished, or anything like that?
No. This house has been here for 9 years. The only thing, we actually have less property when we moved here because we gave a half acre to our children that they had built a house, which the city said, in order to give any more property to our children so they can build houses, we'd have to improve the road, which right now is just a gravel road.
Okay, and you've done that legally and transferred the property and filed the documents
yes.
with the county and all that, okay.
Yes.
There's a worksheet that normally is filled out to use for comparable properties, and you didn't complete that.
I sent it in with the other paperwork. So I had three comparable properties.
Just listed it on a line down here where it says documentary evidence, but there's actually a worksheet where you compare all the different characteristics of the properties. Because what you gave us doesn't tell us anything about your property or the comps in terms of the square footage, one story, two story, what year it was built, any of the details.
That's strange because I filled it out with three different properties in the Richfield area. Now ours is inside the city, and I don't remember if they all were, but I remember filling that out. It took me quite a while to research it.
Well, you listed three properties with the parcel number, the address, the land size and the sale price and the date of the sale, but you didn't give us any details at all. We don't know how to compare those to yours because we don't even know the details on your property in terms of square footage, or any of that. And there's no details on the comps either. So there's a documented comparable property worksheet that's a whole page that you fill out with details, and we did not get that. We got this where the three lines where you listed these three properties. But we can only make decisions based on the information you give us. We don't look up everything online.
I see. No, in the three properties I did were properties that were basically the same size structure on them. And, basically built about the same time, which ours was built in 1992. Nothing's exact, but it was as close as I could come to the size of our house and the size of our property.
Well, just keep in mind if you appeal next year that you want, there's when you pull off this petition off the internet, you want to pull off the comparable worksheet that goes with it and complete that also. I mean, Michelle can put a picture of it up on the screen. I guess you're on the phone, so you can't see the screen, but...
Right. And now the other thing is we talked to the city's going to build a YMCA near us, so we're going to lose. We actually have a strip of land that goes all the way out to Pioneer that the city's going to take. I don't know if it's about a quarter of an acre or something. But that strip of land evidently makes our property. They said they had it listed as commercial, and we're not commercial. But this is just, I guess, my only avenue. But I would like to find out why before our property showed up, the wetlands on our property showed up, but the assessor said they don't show up.
I don't know. We even went to your Board of Equalization a few years ago, and they had it on their information about our wetlands.
When you say they, you mean us, the Board of Equalization?
Yes.
You had it on our information?
Yes.
Well, every year, just keep in mind, every year is a brand new appeal, so you have to resupply us with all the information every year because we don't have access to anything previous.
Right, but that's what we're saying is that on the map you guys brought up, it did show our wetlands on our property. Because our property was tagged, that it had the things tied around the trees showing all the wetlands, and I couldn't probably, because you guys already had it at that time.
Did you talk to the assessor's office about the fact that they basically doubled your assessment? Did you call them and talk to them about it? Or
yeah, I did.
And they just
and
said
the only thing she told me was that they're assessing all property in Richfield as prime property.
Okay.
See, then, when you look up on the GIS, for environmental, it has, it shows potential wetlands or potential presence, and she wasn't aware of any of that, so. And like I said, when we came to you guys a few years ago, we had an appraisal done, and you showed us where it did show wetlands on our property. So I don't know if you still have that information or not.
No, we don't have any of that. That's why I'm saying you have to resupply us with that information every year.
And we had no idea, because when we came down there, we just thought that you had already had it when we got there. We didn't have to supply any information. And you just said, yes, there is wetlands on your property, and they lowered the price of the taxes that we had to pay.
Well that's because we had a pretty...
And that was a few years ago that happened?
It was like 4 years ago.
Just as a quick comment, I'm seeing that in 2017 it was appealed and it was stipulated, so it didn't go to a hearing.
Yeah, the county did. The county the last couple of years they've been fine with their appraisals, and I don't know what happened this year for them to raise it 80% because we haven't done anything
except give away some of our property.
Yeah, we actually have less land. But we had before.
So it says that you have 4.7 acres, and now you've given away half an acre, and then you.
It was a little over 5 acres, and yeah, we gave away almost. It was 0.49, a little bit less than half acre to our daughter.
So does that brings it down to about 4.7?
Yes.
And out of the 4.7, there's, what did you say, a half acre that's wetland, or?
It's about 3/4 of an acre that's wetland.
Okay. I don't have any more questions.
Now, you own that whole easement then coming in.
Yeah.
to your main property, right?
The other neighbor used to own part of it, but the city owns the property next to us, so yeah. Because that's the only thing we have, that he's been going down to the road,
yeah, okay.
And the city owns everything.
All right. Okay. I don't have any other questions with what they have.
Okay.
Hey, make sure that you're listed as commercial property.
And the only reason that is because of that easement. Which, like I said, the city has already came out and talked to us that they want that.
So is the Y going to be right next to you? Is that?
Yeah.
Yes. Can you change that?
Yeah, right.
Well, hopefully it'll be a better facility, but not right next door.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Lots of changes.
Yep. I don't have any other questions.
I don't have any more.
All right. Well, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have a good day.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Bye.
Am I good to save that one?
Yeah.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 672 for property ID 141331000. The property is owned by Thomas J. J.R. Kilcher and Risa L. Kilcher Laws and Trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Risa and Thomas Kilcher present over video chat for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to, go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
You swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from the court as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like her.
Okay.
Well, if you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
We want the property. We've been looking for about 4 years. We're from Camas originally. We've been looking for property. And we came up with, we found this property, and we were one of the first to look at it. What we wanted to do is find something that, you know, we could try to put some sweat equity in, like we needed painting and things like that, stuff that we could do. And we bought it for $675,000. We had it inspected and so on and so forth. We believe that was a good place for it at the time, given the condition and, so on. Once we got in here, I had a lot of problems. You know, there's like, no maintenance done on the property. It was overgrown. There was moss on the roof. It was kind of a mess. We found out, the reason it was in this condition is the prior owner, who was the builder, had some problems with his company and went bankrupt and had some type of legal issues against him, which kind of explained why there's no maintenance. They didn't even change light bulbs or anything in the house. The house wasn't fully completed. And, this isn't to us. This isn't really about money. I mean, we always vote for, school bonds and things like that. It's more about fairness. And we just thought that the price we appraisal value that we got was way over what we felt it was worth from a market perspective. So, we're not professionals out there, so this is not all we have.
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
I noticed that you put some websites in there for us to look at. We can only look at what you give us. We can't go out and look at those websites. So if you wanted us to see those, you would have to print them and send them to us.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, we did want you to see those because they really, I mean, all those houses were basically, you know, well-maintained, had, you know, really nice views and they're high-end. Basically, from the statistics, they matched up to this house, like in terms of size. But in terms of quality and everything else, it's just not even close. So I guess what I'm hearing you say is we need... All right, well, let me back up. I thought I heard you say we had 30 days to send you more information, or I think I read that. We don't do anything. There's nothing that you can look at.
No, you have 30 days until you can appeal to the state, which is a hearing similar to this.
Yeah, we're not calling that.
Let me just explain to you. It's a very simple process. You appeal to the state, and they will tell you exactly what you have to have. You provide all your information and everything, and it's done by telephone just like this is. And so it's not a huge deal to do it if you choose to. But you got to wait to see what we do first.
Right. Okay.
Well, and that would also give you an opportunity, if you appeal to the state, to provide some written bids for repairs, pictures, up-to-date pictures, these comps that you listed the website. You need to provide comps. And it sounds like in your case, pictures would help to show the condition of your home. You provide the picture of the pool.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still a big mess.
Now it's full of frogs.
Yeah, I can imagine. So it's not an intimidating process, and you still do it by phone. So I would just encourage. And then if you appeal to us next year, just be sure you provide, as Dan said, fill out. There's a worksheet
They did the worksheet.
Yeah, right. You did the worksheet, and then I would provide some bids, and if contractors are too busy to come out, you can do those online from Home Depot. If you've got to replace, gutters or kitchen cabinets or whatever it might be, and then give us some idea of what the cost would be to do the repairs.
So are you saying at this point you don't have enough information, really? Is that part of what's happening here?
Well,
the information you gave us is websites. I don't know what those websites are. It looks like they're all homes. But if you want to have mitigation of the value, you need to show us proposals for how much it's going to cost to do that. And you said it's 120 to 150, but that's not definitive enough for us to do anything with.
If you'd given us even the inspection report with the comment from the home inspector stating that, we just have to have documentation for our decisions.
One thing you do have going for you is that you bought it in mid-year last year, so that's a pretty big jump to go from 675 to 946.
Yeah, it's
a lot.
It's really big.
We weren't expecting that at all. Like I said, for us, it was about being fair. I mean, we never did anything like this before, but we just felt it wasn't fair.
Got it. Where did you come up with the $720,000 value?
That's basically when we bought it. I mean, the hot water heaters weren't working, the furnace wasn't working, and there was a bunch of rotted panels on the outside of the house. So we actually had to do some work just to make the house livable. So we spent like $40,000 just to get the house livable.
Got it.
So that's where we kind of came up with that number.
And you knew all that looking into it? Your inspector had told you that, correct?
I'm sorry?
Your inspector had told you all that going in, that all those things weren't working?
We did a lot of due diligence. We knew exactly what we were getting into. Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we valued at 720 because of the work we absolutely had to do just to live in that house.
Okay. Was there an appraisal made at the time of the sale?
There was by the mortgage company, by Wells Fargo. But yeah. I asked for that, and they said that even though we paid for it, that that's their information, and they cannot give it to us. To make sure that the mortgage, they could pay the debt so that they would approve the mortgage.
All right.
That's too bad. Yeah, it is too bad.
Okay.
Not typical. Usually the institute banking institutions will share the appraisal.
Yeah, I asked them, and they... Well, Wells Fargo, as you know, they were having all kinds of legal problems, too, setting up fake accounts and things like that at the time. Yes. So they clamped down on a lot of their procedures.
You think we could ask now?
I just asked, a couple months ago.
Now, one of their big problems was customer service, and it doesn't sound like that's improved.
No.
Give you a copy of the appraisal.
No, it didn't.
And you might... I don't know if you bank with them or not, but you might tell them that you could find another institution that would be more cooperative. And usually they give you that. There's no reason why they shouldn't give you that.
Okay, that's good information.
Yeah.
We actually tried, as part of our retirement planning, we tried getting a home equity loan through, and they shut that down, too, because of the pandemic.
So
I'm
shopping around. There's lots of places that are... would be happy to loan you money.
Do you have a fair amount of equity in your house now?
Yeah, we do. I can't give you exact numbers, but we probably own 60% of it.
Okay. Yeah, there are places that will give it to you, and I'll just give you one. I'm not recommending them or anything, but Elements Financial out of, I think it's Illinois, but at any rate, they're not a savings loan, but a credit union, and they are very cooperative about it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Weaver. Elements?
Elements Financial.
And I'll give you a local one. Umpqua Bank.
Umpqua.
Okay.
Umpqua, yeah. Thank you.
Well, we should have meetings every week. Okay.
But even if you do refi or try to work with them, I'd do that as soon as possible.
Yeah, interest rates are going through the roof. Yeah. We're pretty financially savvy. But we're old school too. We're very conservative financially.
Yeah, that's good. That's not a bad thing.
and we're seeing our kids starting to be smart with their money too, so
All right.
Okay.
Thank
you. Okay. I have no more questions.
No.
All right.
So we'll get something in writing in 30 days?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
Bye now.
Bye.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have a half hour scheduled for this due to an ADA need. So we've got 30 minutes scheduled, but can potentially be flexible with that if needed. The hearing before us is case number 678 for property ID 18780303030. The property is owned by Karen D. Knudsen and David A. Knudsen and is as trustees. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have David Knudsen on video chat for the appellant. So we'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand and get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
Okay. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
All right, understood. In the files that I sent, there's one file that says read first PDF, so I'm going to bring that up on my computer screen. What I wanted to do is, since there was a significant adjustment in the year before, just to go back through some of the things that I showed the board the year before when the value was reduced to what I paid for it in 2019, which was $420 something. Okay, so as you go through the property, there's a street views, which is common. Right now, if one were to drive in front of this property, it would be green grass because it's been raining a lot. Again, what I'm trying to show is the inside quality. So the next picture I'm seeing on my screen is a picture of a corner kitchen with, that's linoleum floors, that's Formica cabinets. I'm sorry, Formica countertops, and pretty sure those cabinets were made by A&J Cabinets. You made a gazillion of them during the 90s. That is a kitchen nook view. That is the original carpet, which is still in this single-family home today. In fact, I'm sitting at the moment in the portion of it that in 2021 we took the existing space, we removed the gas fireplace, added two walls, and made a converted a family room to another bedroom with a bathroom, done with the beds. More outside pictures, actually the trailer that I'm traveling a lot in, and then that shows, now we're up to reading, or reason I want to establish this is to show the year before when my assessed value was $499,779. The Board of Equalization reduced it to $423. Of course, I confirmed then it was an arm's length transaction. And to remind the board in the facts and finding, this property is unique in that it is part of a subdivision that some of the homes do have recorded CCNRs that give protection to the property owner in regards to exterior issues. Like I think when I read it, you couldn't read a metal building, but in my particular case, my property was actually built prior to the recordation of the CCNRs, and the other ones have no relevance to my property. The only thing I have to follow would be county codes, and then there's some notes on the reported plot map. Last few pages are just my qualifications to give an opinion as a real estate broker, and I think that belabors the point. Then the letter that I sent, in the first few paragraphs, we showed that the assessor now is valuing the property at $131,100 for the land, improvements at $404,81 for $535,181. First thing I always do when I'm trying to figure out is something worth this is I try to look for what's the land worth. Not a whole lot of closed sales in the land, but there were significant closed sales. Well, by significant in that in year 2000. There's a file, if you'll open it up, it says nine sales merged. So these are sales very close by. In real estate lingo, I'm only looking in what we call Area 43, which a good way to think of that is basically if I'm going up Lakeshore, it's that part of Clark County, which is sort of not, north of 99th Street, give or take, up to where Ridgefield starts, give or take, to the right and the left over towards I-5, over towards the river. So I was looking for any sales that had square footage that would be 2,700 to 2,900, because mine's 28 and some change, if I remember right, or 27 and some change. In other words, a little bit smaller, a little bit bigger, with key issues of kids have to go to Skyview and it has to have a 3-car garage. And here's what I found. Didn't make it say it. I found that there were 9 sales that ranged from $495 on the low end to $576 on the high end. If one just throws that all together as an average, that is a average sales price of $535,679. Of course, that average square footage that's there on that summary statement from the RMLS always is flawed because it doesn't separate out the land. So, if we now look at the pictures of each of these sales, I've shown both exterior and interior pictures that were used for marketing in year 2000 on these properties. So, first one I see here is 709 Northwest 120th Street. Beautiful outside, extensive hardwood on the main floor. I see nicer cabinets, hardwood in the kitchen, granite countertops, etc. So lots of value. As I get to the bathroom, I see jetted tub. I see dual sinks. Backyard. I hate to hire somebody to do that these days, but I think you might get a $50,000 bid for everything there I see in the backyard. Next one that I see. Oh, so that same one, map in perspective, very nearby, where my property is, in distance. Okay, this one, next one up is 4714 Northwest 129th Street. Gorgeous landscaping outside. Again, I see, looks to me like that's laminate flooring, and not hardwood. I see either laminate or hardwood in the kitchen. I see better cabinets. Way better fixtures in the bathroom pictures. Nice paint. Nice backyard. Extensive concrete. Might be for an RV pad. I didn't get in that far into it. And that one, again, very nearby mine. So, 2409 Northwest 127th. Next one up. I see, again, lots of hardwood. Can't quite tell in the pictures in the kitchen as to what really the countertops are, but at least in those first few pictures, hardwood everywhere I look. Nice fixtures. Looks like the backyard has a pretty big backyard. Not as landscaped as nice as the previous ones. Next one up, 2409 127th Street. They're promoting the idea in the listing that they've done some upgrades and new stuff in 2019, and they have a main floor private office. Next, 14611 Northwest 20th Ave. I see lots of, that's hardwood, not laminate. Lots of hardwood in the pictures. Vaulted ceilings. Big bathroom with a jetted tub and super long counters. Deck. Not so much promotion of the landscaping in the back. Next one up is 13612 Northwest 44th Court. Uh, What's interesting about this one is this is actually in Ashley Heights, where there's more usually was a parade at home neighborhood in the early 90s. Lots of built-ins that I see, lots of cabinets, very nice backyard with the community park. This one, the next one, 13612 Northwest 44th Court. 530612 is what it sells for. 512 Northeast 150th Street, I'm sorry, is actually the next one. And this is a 2,892 square foot house. Interior, much more contemporary. That's laminate flooring, dark, not my cup of tea, but somebody liked it. Somebody was willing to pay for it. But issue is, it's new on the inside there. 2017. 13604 Northwest 43rd Court, 98685. Once again, lots of brick on the front, gorgeous landscaping. Inside, lots of architectural details, even in the drywall. The curves, lots of hardwood in those pictures. Nice bathroom, huge. Jetted tub, double sinks. Big backyard, green grass. Let's see. 13803 Northwest 48th Ave is actually the next one up. Outside. Covered porch, extensive brick, looks like a hardwood entry. It looks like the hardwood extends through the kitchen. Black counters, not my cup of tea. Looks like there's some kind of black granite. There's some kind of covered area in the back with very nice landscaping in the backyard on a corner. Uh, 2512 Northwest 143rd Court. Outside, I see brick. I see nice landscaping. I see nice fencing. Or I see stone, actually, not brick. Nicer doors, nice fixtures, vaulted ceilings, updated appliances, compared, of course, to mine. Nice backyard when you get to showing their little stonework and their sculptured grass. And that sort of ends it. So reason, again, for me to take the time to show these are, in fact, average and typical in many of the newer neighborhoods that surround my property. However, the neighborhood just behind me, literally on the other side of the fence line, is more of a built in the 1980s, where the typical houses were one stories, two stories were the exception. They're okay houses. They appear to be mainly owner occupied from the outside, but obviously the assessor is always going to default to saying that my property is worth these properties. My response is no. From the beginning, my property has not been like those properties in both the issues of the CC&R's No Homeowners Association and how the house was finished to begin with. Okay, at some point, I don't think it much affects it this year, but I wanted to start talking about the idea that, I pull permits, we did this conversion of the family room, we did not add any square footage. Technically, we removed about 6 square feet because we simply just removed the gas fireplace, boarded over the, not boarded over, you know, covered where a fireplace would have been. In fact, it's literally behind that headboard there, since I happen to be in town. The reason this becomes important is I haven't taken the time to do the investigating work. So since I pull permits, but now this is 2021, I think there's some kind of rule that the assessor can assess higher than what they were going to assess if you do some kind of a remodel. Since I just had my tax appointment yesterday with the CPA, I actually know what I paid for these changes, since I have to, of course, depreciate it, because it's not maintenance. It's getting you have to depreciate it on your rental. And it was just shy of like $12,000, $11,000 something, and that's hiring people to do it. In fact, since I'm in the room, let's see. So that would have been the wall of where the family room was. This would have been the family room. That's now a place for some, a closet. They added, they put in a, tied in an existing plumbing there, put in a bathroom and a fiberglass tub shower. Literally rolled back and used the original carpet. Why? Because for me, as I'm traveling the RV, when I'm back in town, it's just a place to sleep. Since this home is one that is part of the Catholic Worker Movement, and we provide inexpensive, not well, we provide safe, clean, affordable housing to the working poor. I don't need to spend any more money on this property than I need to, nor do I need to have my taxes on it. It should be. I think that the assessor has actually assessed me $34,288, which will be next year to deal with, for something that cost me $11,000 something. But yet, when I look at the closed sales and square footage, you just saw them all. They're way better than my property. Okay, so that's all my research. What did, then I get to the next page. I say, so what does it all mean? So if I put on my designated broker hat, which I still am, for me, it's pretty simple. If in 2020, the closed sales in both location and square footage, in comparison to my property, sold on average for $535,679, which that's true. You just looked them all. Then my property is way, and I mean way below average. Now, of course, a real appraiser is going to make adjustments. You know, they're going to figure out, well, what does it cost to build all that brick on the front of a house and that brick fireplace, et cetera, et cetera, and they're going to adjust down. For me, it's more gut level. If I had to spend $11,000 to build two walls and put in a bathroom, trying to save all the money I possibly could, well, gee, obviously the difference between my house and the other houses in today's value is more than $100,000. So, back to the assessor. So the assessor now values the land at $131,100. I can't find any closed sales really to support that. South of here, there were lots of closed sales. Well, lots, that's a relative term. There were closed sales, much higher in price, but in a gate-guarded community that they're making kind of like next-gen homes in. And I was sort of shocked that people actually paid high 180s, but protective CC&Rs, super nice,
super nice houses being built, some with peekaboo views of the Columbia River. But I, you know, at least close by, there isn't really any low sales that supports the 131.1. I'm not protesting it. I'll just say, okay, let's assume it's 131.1. So with the land, if houses sell on average for 535, 679, if you take out the value of the land, then you multiply back, with mine, with the assumption that with all of the difference of improvements in landscaping and the value of being in a neighborhood with true CCNRs and an HOA that can go after somebody, my conclusion therefore was my land's 131.1 and my improvements are 304.579. With my 2021 total being 434,679. Now that doesn't reflect the money that I spent for doing this remodel we just talked about. Why? So I remember I pulled the permits in early 2021. Or in early 2021 or late 2020, took several months to get Clark County to give us permits because at first they wanted to charge impact fees because they say I'm making mother-in-law's quarters. And after that go around of, no, I'm not. Doesn't have a separate entrance and access, and I don't have a separate heating facility. I just am converting space into a main floor bedroom. So, and they finally said, oh yeah, you don't have to pay any impact fees. And then we traveled some, so it actually took us, I think until October, maybe, I don't know, October of 2021 to finally finish this little remodel. Therefore, when I see closed sales and when I see that every single closed sale is super gorgeous, super nice, inside and out, my brain says somebody buying this in a fair and open market at the same time is probably going to buy this to remodel it to try to make money. But they would have to put all those same kinds of improvements inside to get the same price at that point in time. Therefore, I request the county board of equalization to reduce the valuation of my property to $434,679 for the 2021 appeal. Any questions?
Nope, I think we did. I don't have any questions.
I don't have any questions.
Covered well.
Okay. So you guys have a great day. I'm off to other stuff.
Alrighty.
Alright.
Thank you. Sorry for the wait.
Yeah, no problem.
Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Talk to you later. Bye bye. Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 679 for property ID 175041000. The property is owned by Patrick C. Lynch and Nicole K. Lynch. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Patrick Lynch present over video chat for the appellant. So if you could, we'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, so, excuse me, this is similar to the last 4 or 5 years. I'm not challenging the assessment of the property. That was denied the first year and was explained that that's pretty much, you know, the isn't going to be allowed. But as the last 4 or 5 years, I've appealed the value of the structures, of what it would take to get them to the condition of what the comps are. And, you know, I have estimates for each of those items. The last 4 or 5 years, as long as I've been appealing them, you guys have said, yeah, we agree that we should reduce the amount based on the estimates here. So nothing new this year. I haven't done any improvements as of January 1st, 2021. On any of the items that are you have estimates on.
It looks to me like, let's see, the first one is on estimate 1322 is roofing. Is that correct? Is that the main house?
I don't have it in front of me, but I'll, yes.
1577-72. There's another one in there, it looks like it's for roofing also.
There's three structures, and all three would need new roofs.
Okay.
There's the house, there's the shop, and then there's the outbuilding.
Okay.
Okay. Because I wondered about that, too.
Yeah, and, you know, those are the exact same estimates. I didn't get new estimates because of timing and how close it was, but those are the exact same estimates you used to reduce the valuation for the 2020 assessment.
And that's how you got down to the 292 total value?
If that's what I have in there, yes.
Right.
There's a roofing, windows, electrical.
Repipe.
Can't think of anything else.
The repipe.
Repipe. Yes. Yep.
And so I guess is one of the roofing estimates 14,000. Maybe that's for the shop. One of them's 3,400, and then there's another one for 14,000 plus tax, or is that the house?
I don't see one for repiping. Was there one there?
Repipe is 3,850.
Where is that?
But I only got down to 309, but then I didn't have the two additional roof estimates because I thought maybe you just got three bids or something. I couldn't really tell from.
No, they were all from the same company, and it was for each structure.
Okay, and so the house and the shop are pretty close to the same, I think, cost. One's 15772, and the other one is 15365. I guess that must be, maybe that's the shop.
Yeah, because they're going to, that's replacing the metal roof with sheeting it with plywood, and then using regular, what do they call that, tile or three tab.
Is the shop the one with the curved roof? There's one.
No, the shop is the metal roof.
Okay, there's one that shows, is the outbuilding the one with the curved roof?
It could look curved, I mean, yes.
It's sloped. And it's got a lot of moss on the top of it.
It's a gambrel.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's stairs going up to it, up to a second floor.
Yes. That's the outbuilding.
That's the outbuilding. Okay.
I have enough information here.
Yeah, so do I.
Yes, okay. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Great. Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Am I going to say that?
Closing hearing.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 681 for property ID 753-58527. The property is owned by Eugene C. Nagel. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I will hand it back to the board.
There's no one present for either of the parties. We'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 676 for property ID 986-048-162. The property is owned by Carl Snow and Deborah D. Snow. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Carl Snow and Debbie Snow present. One is over video, one's over phone, both present for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to, go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Deb, do you want to go ahead?
I don't have the papers, but you should do it, Carl.
Just go ahead and bring you right in.
Okay.
Do you swear, sure. Do you swear,
yes,
or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has the same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
Unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal. Let me just state that it looks like you bought this in January of 2021 for $580, and you had a... Sorry?
$580. Correct.
And you have an appraisal that just says the 12/14/2020 for five. It says 510 here. You got 610 in your statement, but the 610 is the cost of the 13. 610.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, is that those are the facts?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I mean, that's some of the best evidence you can possibly have.
Okay.
But go ahead and tell us any more if you want to.
Carl, go ahead. You have the papers there.
Well, you guys have the 11 pages in front of you, I take it?
Yes.
So, I mean, we're just, we just don't think that the land value and the home values are in line with, you know, what they should be compared to some of the other comparables in the area. For example, if you look at the... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and also that we... It says that we have 4 bedrooms and we only have a 3-bedroom home.
Okay.
The tax records say 4 bedrooms, so that's incorrect on the tax records. One of those pages shows our floor plan. Okay, Carl, I'll let you finish. Sorry, Tina.
No, she's absolutely right. You know, there's proof showing that it is indeed 3 bedrooms if you look at the floor plan. And, it's not that one of them is a den, because we do have a den, but it has a closet, so it is the 3rd bedroom. So if you look at if you just look at the comparables, they've got our land value at $286,750, and it is just way out of line for what we're seeing in the area. Now, we do have some neighbors that have the same. They're on the golf course, we have three streets on, we have three sides of our home are streets. So we do have green space on the left side, but the rest of it is streets, and our comparables are on the golf course.
Well, we think your purchase price is a pretty good indication of value.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, our lot was
165,000 on that, and then the rest was the house. So.
Okay. Do you want me to just, should I just go through the pages that I have on here?
I think they're saying you don't need to.
Not necessarily.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to extend things if you don't need it. You know, one of the comparables, though, or when I talked to the appraiser from the county, he said that using the subdivision to the south of us is not a good comparable, but because he says the quality is not the same. But we have a neighbor that is two doors away from us. His address is 14907 Northeast 182nd, and it's the same builder as we have on one of the comps, and the comp says it is average plus, and we show good category, but he's the same builder that built in the average plus, and in our neighborhood, they put good on there, the exact same builder. So I didn't feel like that was, you know, appropriate.
What is the golf course out there?
It is the Cedars.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah, and it's no longer going to be a golf course. It's for sale.
Right.
So,
right.
And we're not on the golf course.
Yeah.
Are you one of those new homes that were built where the driving range used to be?
I'm not sure where the driving range.
Sure. We're from Oregon, so not sure where the driving range was. We're right across the street from the parking lot, actually, from the golf course.
So
there's a little. Three house cul-de-sac exactly across
yes.
the street from us.
They're
showing
a picture.
Okay, yeah, you're not backed up to the railroad tracks then.
Well, we're close. Yeah. No, we're not backed up to the railroad tracks yet. Correct.
Right. Okay, got it.
You have that correct on the map that you're showing right now.
Yeah. All right. Did you say there was someplace in here that said that your land was $165,000?
That's what we paid for it. We paid $165,000 for the land, and then the full total package that we did when all was said and done was $580,000, including the land. But he had us close on the land first. We closed on it, I think it was April or June, I can't remember, in 20 before they started, and then he rolled all that in to our construction perm loan, and then the house got finished the end of January 2021.
Okay.
Anything else you need from us?
I don't have any other questions. I think it's well explained.
Okay. Yep.
Okay, thank you so very much. We appreciate your guys' time.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, and then Dan, am I good to save that?
Yes. Close that hearing.
This is a continuation of the March 3rd, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves case number 682 for property ID 215-620-000. The property is owned by Lee E. Wells and Geraldine A. Wells. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, Dick Riley, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. We have Lonnie Dawkins present as the representative from the assessor's office, and he's over video chat. And we have Lee Wells present over the phone for the appellant, along with Nikki Cantrell, who is his daughter. And they can both see into the hearing. I think since you're representing him, I think we'll have both of you go ahead and get sworn in. So if you could please both raise your right hands, and then Lonnie will have you do so as well.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome. You have 30 days from that to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Unless you have questions, I'm going to let you, the appellant, go first and tell us about your appeal. And then we'll have Mr. Dawkins give us the assessor's takes on this. So go ahead. Whoever's going to talk.
I'm going to tell him really quickly what you just said, because he's having a hard time hearing. So then here's to hear your side of it, and then the assessor's office is the one who has the presumption of being accurate. You have the ability to put in forth your information right now. If either one of you doesn't like it, what happens at the end of this, you have 30 days to appeal it again, to come back with additional information. Otherwise, that is going to let you represent yourself.
Okay. Now, my hearing is really bad, and with this three-way connection here with the Zoom and that, it's almost impossible. Yeah. But anyway, you want me to present something?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little bit of my background. I moved here in 1954. My dad was born here with their grandparents, moved here in 1885. So I have a vested interest in Ridgeview. I was a log scaler for 44 years, and a log scaler is the same thing as a appraiser. I was a certified log scaler with Columbia River Log Scaling and Grading Bureau. When a load of logs would come in and three logs on it, you turn around and assessed each individual log as on its own merits. One could be a number one peeler, or the other one could be a number three saw log, depending on the deductions that you would take from being perfect, I guess you want to call that, and downgrade it, down through and grade it like a number one potato, number two potato, or a baker, or so on and so forth. So I have a lot of background on assessing individual items. So it'd be like an individual parcel. Every one of them might be a parcel, but every one of them is different in character. The other thing I was saying is a lot of the assessments come from computer generated, and they aren't actually assessed physically in the field. Oops. Well, I heard a ding. So anyway, that's why I turned around and engaged a professional wetlands individual to go through and assess the wetlands on this parcel. This parcel, a year ago, I appealed it at the same time. At the end of the session, actually the last day, the DOE staff advised me either put it in the mail or bring it in to the service center. I do not trust the mail. There have been parcels that are lost. A guy yesterday told me he lost a bunch of checks, and it was 2 months later they started showing up at Riverview with his name on them trying to cash them. But that's neither here nor there. I took this appeal, the same appeal, into the service center. I gave it as instructed by staff, and your staff is phenomenal. They're really, really, really good. I submitted it to the security guard for him to do whatever they could to, because we couldn't go in the building. Subsequently, it came up missing. Your staff dug and tried finding it, went through the assessor's office, they couldn't find it. So it went on hold for a year, and here I am a year later filing the same petition again. Acreage had changed a little bit from 18 to 29 because I had to do a lot line adjustment to put in a barn. And what else did I have, Nikki, that I wanted
to talk about? You wanted to talk about the valuation comparison.
The valuation comparison which I had brought forward was a parcel right across the freeway, quarter of a mile away, half a mile, three quarters of a mile away. The parcel ended up 50 points here, 50.2 acres. It was two parcels, lot number 30 and lot number 4, which you have the documentation of there. Them parcels sold this 1023 that was recorded with the county. And this parcel has got, I think, a 270,000 square foot tilt-up building on it right now. Freeway visibility, they had all the amenities to the property, including water, sewer, and they actually turned around and sold for $4,850,000 for the total. And the
value, the total, the usage, the land usage was at $2.23, was the final valuation average per acre, right?
Right, that's
and right. $2.23 for a piece of land about a quarter of a mile away from his property that was a fully developed piece of property. So it has water, electrical, everything. His land is undeveloped, and it doesn't have freeway visibility, and the valuation, the final valuation for it came in at $2.02. And so a 21 cent difference between a piece of developed land and an undeveloped piece of land seems to be not comparable.
And freeway visibility is the main thing. Also on the map, that shows the parcel, and I'm sorry, I did not number the pages. It shows a squiggly road through the middle of it. The parcel does, and it's divided in half. That squiggly little road was 1.49 acres, I believe. I donated that. It was $820,000. We built the road. We put the trees in. We put the pavement in. We donated that to the city of Ridgefield. I came back with an assessment from the assessor's department that I had a change of use for that 1.4 acres and ended up with a $4,000 bill that I have no use for it. And I mean, what I'm trying to say is I got no compensation. I was not required to do it. We did it out of the kindness of our heart for the community and for the length of time that we've been here, and it would really benefit the city. That amount of acreage was not deducted from the assessor's assessment of the parcel of 29 acres.
Are you following what he's saying, you guys? Do you understand what he's saying? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so when you take that into consideration of gross acreage and gross assessment and gross for taking it out of current use. Actually, there was a road there. It's been there for 25 years, a farm road that connected the two together forever.
And then your other point was, and then in Francis's report that he had also turned into you, Francis gave the usable land. So Francis did an ecological report and divided the land out differently. But on Francis's land, it hadn't deducted for that road. So in Francis's report, it showed that he had, I think, 29 usable acres, but it was supposed to be a little bit less, correct? Francis in the pretty blue road. And then so in that point one of his petition where it says the critical area determination, he came up with 18.32 usable acres where the assessor's office came up with something higher. But he had not deducted out the 1.44 acres that had been gifted to the city. So Lee is saying, hey, I gifted 1.44 acres. The assessor's office didn't acknowledge it. And also Francis missed it in when he did his 18.32 acres. So it should actually be 1.44 less than that. So, and then he received a bill for back taxes on the land that he had gifted to the city. There's also at that 80-foot setback along the east line of the property for an upcoming road that's going to be used by the city. We didn't see any acknowledgement from the assessor's office for the land that's been deemed for the road, and it looks as if he has accounted for that land in my dad's usable land documentation as well. And then there's also, in addition to that 80-foot setback, you have the 10-foot setback on either side of it for the city as well, that the assessor's office didn't deduct out of there either. So his point to the appraiser, the assessor's office, is that it doesn't seem that the assessor had all the information when he put it together. So he's missing the road, he's missing the setback, he's missing the gifted land, and he gave a 20 cents difference or 21 cents difference to a developed piece of land with freeway view to compare to his piece across the way. So those are the points that he wanted to bring up today. He wanted the assessor to please go back and take all of the things that have been missed and apply those to the chart that he had created for coming up with his evaluation and his final number, and then see how that changes the number.
Okay, that's for now. Thank you. Any questions?
Nope.
Well, I don't have any questions.
I don't have any.
Explained very well.
Lonnie, you want to give the assessor's position?
I will. I hope at the end of this hearing we'll all have a firm understanding of how many acres are involved. And because it sounds like there's still some confusion over the right-of-way of Wells Drive. So at the end of my presentation, let's all make sure we're speaking the same language to fully understand how many acres are involved. I'll have a question to the board members. Have you board members been on the Wells Drive, the property under appeal?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no.
Okay, no. Very good. Thank you. So this property is located in Richfield on the west side of I-5. And it's, if you know where, when you're on the freeway, you could see Par Lumber. It's just to the west of that. So the tricky part about this property is that it's large and it's doesn't have, for the size of the parcel, it doesn't have a huge amount of street frontage. So that's the tricky part of this property. And so the taxpayer's home also sits on a two. So I'll just go through describing the property as best I can. If you turn to page two and you can see the aerial photo of my response, just let me know when you're there.
So that's showing that road you're talking about going right straight through the property.
Yes. So just for clarification, the road, Wells Drive, is not part of the acreage that's being assessed.
Okay.
So whatever they're referring to, the 1.4 acres, I haven't been shown where that acreage is identified. If our acreage is wrong for some reason, which I don't believe it is, maybe a survey could be provided that explains where it's wrong. Certainly we want the correct acreage. So it's interesting because the taxpayer, if you look at the property to the west, all of those homes, that was the taxpayer's property, and he developed that or sold it off to a residential developer, and that is now home. So that's when this road was put through. So this parcel used to be just a field, and then recently, and I don't know how long ago it was, a number of years, they put this road and split this parcel in two, which kind of further complicates the parcel because it's divided by this new road that the taxpayer built and a semi-bridge going over the stream on the west side. So if you look at the part...
He didn't sell it. There was no profit made on that.
So oftentimes developers will, and I don't know the details of yours, but if the property is dedicated and given to the city, sometimes some other benefits, like in lieu of some fees, like traffic impact fees or school impact fees, will be given to the developer. And I don't know the details of that, but and that's neither here nor there. We're not valuing that street. It's now public right away. So the acreage that's being valued is the fee simple ownership of the taxpayer. So if you look at the aerial photograph, you can see the area that's haze. It's kind of a light color in the northeast corner.
Mm-hmm.
That property I'm valuing as fully improved. The street it's got three lanes. It's got a right, east, bound, westbound, and then a turn lane. It's got brand new sidewalks and landscaping, as the taxpayer described. So the property that's hayed, I've determined that that's ready to go. The buyer, whoever's going to buy this property, it's going to be relatively low cost to get it developed. So I'm valuing that at the comparable market rates. If you turn to page six, it gives a breakdown of the way I've broken out this land. If you want to turn to there, we can kind of go over it. So on the spreadsheet, the land is 27.76 acres, and that does not include Wells Drive, the street. So on the first line of land, and granted, the majority of this property is in farm and ag open space. So the taxable dollar amount is $117,000 on the land, and the market value is $2,444,621. So the first line is 4.2 acres, and that is, if you look at the aerial that we are looking at, that is on the north side of the public street. And that is valued at $5 a square foot. And we have sales in Richfield and sales I didn't provide in the county that justifies that is a fair market value for improved industrial. And on the south side, there's 2.35 acres, and that was valued at $4 per square foot. Because of the topography, it slopes down. So I applied a lower rate because of topography. And then the home sits on the central part, a little further south. That's 1 acre. And that was valued at $2.50 a foot. The most acreage in question is the 9.56 acres Does everybody see where that's at?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the southern portion of the parcel, and that's parcel that's not part of the sensitive land, the wetlands, and the steep topography. And I discounted that to 24% good, or a discount of a 76% to $1.21 a foot. So this property is something that, if it wasn't so far away from the public street, would be a higher rate. But to get a picture of what it's like is, as you drive in towards Mr. Wells' homes, the property slopes down into a ravine, and then it comes up the other side. So on the back side of this, it's a much higher, it's high and dry, usable, but hard to get to. I know that the taxpayer does own further property to the south of the property in question that I think it butts on the street to the south. I can't remember the street off the top of my head. But he also owns additional acreage south of this parcel. So that property was discounted at $1.21. And then there's 1.6 acres that is not valued at all, which is basically we're applying land that would be dedicated to a future street to get back to that southern portion of the property. That's what that's applying for. There's 5.8 acres that is around the home, and it is steep, and everything slopes down to the west, and there's a creek down below. So there's part of the property is extremely steep and sensitive. And so a 70% adjustment was applied to the land around the home that is steep to $1.50 a foot. And that's a $384,000 total value. And then there's additional 3 acres that is the western portion that's north of the Wells Drive, and that's basically setbacks and wetlands and sensitive ground. And I appreciate the taxpayer providing Ecological Land Services a letter showing about a usable land. So they referred to that, and Ecological Land Services is using the same exact acreage that I'm using. That's on the assessor's rolls, the 27.76 acres. And that's in their letter that they provided. So Ecological Land Services said there's 18.32 acres of net buildable ground. So if you refer to my spreadsheet, I got this letter after I responded to the taxpayer. I wish I would have had this earlier. I could have simulated mine to match his a little better. But if we look at my analysis on my spreadsheet on page 6, I have 4.2 acres. If somebody, I'll subtotal this, and if you guys want to just follow along with me, I have 4.20 acres of $5 a square foot ground, which is fully improved. I have 2.35 acres of fully improved on the south side that has a topography issue that's sloping down away from the road. So that's a total of 6.55 so far. And that's the most valuable ground of this whole piece, is the part that's on the city street. And then we have 108,900 on the home site, which is 1 acre. So now we're up to 7.55 acres of net usable. And then we have on the south side, which I referred to as the parcel that's rearage and far away from the city street, of 5.88 acres. So that is a total of 12.43 acres. The net usable on Francis's report of Ecological Land Services is 18.32 acres net usable. So there's another 9.56 that's further south. And that is a total of, I'm sorry, I wish I would have done this earlier. The 5.88 acres is part that I deem steep and sensitive. So we'll scratch that. We'll include the 9.56 acres to the south. So I'll total that up. So that's a total of 16.11 acres. Ecological Land Services showing 18.32 acres. So my buildable is a lower amount than Ecological Land Services. So the taxpayer can make the argument that my 5.88 acres, you see at a 30% adjustment, $1.50 a foot is valued too high because they say that it is not buildable. And that's a fair argument. But what I'll counter with is I'm running at a 30% rate or $1.50 a foot. And what we see, especially in the commercial industrial sector, and not so much residential, because Department of Ecology has made a point to say that if you have properties zoned commercial, am I losing you, Dan?
No.
Okay. That if it's zoned commercial or industrial, that the Department of Ecology is more apt to help mitigate wetlands. So as you guys are probably aware, there's four different quality of categories of wetlands. You have very, very sensitive swampland that we could never touch or never fill. And then we have other wetlands that are negotiable and can be mitigated. So the 30% factor, it's a 70% reduction on the 5.88 acres that is around the home and some steep areas. You can argue that 30% rate is too high. The taxpayer hasn't provided any market evidence that shows what that rate should be. I will say that it is tricky, but I think that some of this land could be mitigated, which is expensive and a pain for the taxpayer, and the market reflects that in the value. So I know this is kind of confusing because there's a lot of different valuation characteristics that I've applied to this home or this property, but I've attempted to apply a rate that's fair to each component because it's very diverse. And we'll go through my sales of the land that I use as comparables. If you want to turn to page 7 of my response, one of the sales is the sales that the taxpayers were referring to, and I'm glad they brought it up. We'll just jump to that right now since they brought it up, and it's of interest. So sale number 2 is, if you've been north on I-5, a 500,000 square foot distribution center is being built there right now. It's framed up. But a lot of this property is not usable. The taxpayer, you know, did a calculation of the dollar per square foot for the whole parcel. Well, there's quite a bit of wetlands on this parcel, just as on their parcel. So it's 50 acres in total. Is everyone following me? It's sold for $4.8 million in August of 2021. So it's a 50-acre total. And so according to the listing flyer, 32.9 acres is buildable. And then there's 17.1 acres that is low and wet. So it's interesting because this property sits on South Fifth Avenue and runs east-west, which is still very rustic. It's in areas, it's still kind of a country road. So the north part of this parcel that's sold is the street is unimproved to the city standards. But on the east side of this property is the newer road that goes into a lot of that newer development in Union Ridge. So, and that's the way they're accessing this property. So 32.9 acres is improved, and then 17.1 is low and wet, which the 223 in which the taxpayer referred to is the gross amount. And then I broke it out 339 for the larger improved, and then 50 cents a foot for the low and wet. So sale number one is on North 20th Avenue, and that was sold in October 2019 for $5 million, and it's 30 acres, and it has 5 acres that's low and wet. And so the gross sale price is $3.81 a square foot. And this is just south of the Tri-Mountain Golf Course, and it, in both the north side, the access is still unimproved, so they're going to have to do a lot of street improvements to get this ready. They're going to put in new sidewalks, just as the taxpayer did on his road, new sidewalks and probably at least a half a road if improvement. Sale number three is on Union Ridge, and that's a smaller piece, 3.96 acres with no sensitive land, and that sold for $6.26 a foot. And then on the next page, sale number four is also east of I-5 on South 5th Street, and it's a smaller piece, 2.5 acres, and it sold for $6.55 a square foot. So I know this is a little bit confusing. I think the biggest point in question is not the improved property that I valued at $5 a square foot and $4 a square foot. It's that rearage that's sensitive, low and wet, that I applied the 10% rate to and the 30% rate to. So it's a difficult one because most developers that want to buy this, they don't want to mess around with the wetlands. It's a pain. But there's also can be opportunities if you can mitigate the property. Fortunately, with this property, a lot of the sensitive land, short of around the home site, is on the western side of the property. So it's kind of isolated. So on the eastern side is higher and drier. So unfortunately, when you go to develop, the Port of Richfield owns the property to the east. So I imagine when Mr. Wells' property is developed in the south, it'll be in conjunction probably with the Port of Richfield, that is their neighbor. So, but that's all speculation on my part, but that's probably the way that will happen. So anyway, I'm open to any questions and any acreage clarifications that you guys have.
I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
When you were making reference to one of the comparables, and you were talking about, what was interesting to me is that you made reference directly about that property as a buildable square footage. And on my dad's land, you don't reference it as buildable square footage at all. But you did on that one. But I noticed that you were talking about the wetlands and the expensiveness of the wetlands on that particular property, that it seems that those had been evaluated at like 50 cents, I think, that is square acre. You were making a reference to it being at a much lower dollar amount. I just wanted to ask for your clarification on that.
Square footage.
So, I'm not exactly sure. So, on your property, the property that I valued at $5 a square foot and $4 a square foot, it is already fully buildable because the streets are in and it's not under a sensitive land characteristics. The other property I adjusted accordingly. So I'm not sure. On the property, on the sale you were referring to, the wetlands, you know, from our assessment standpoint, we valued at a much lower rate as well. And we do the best we can on identifying it without, you know, Ecological Land Services provided this map and letter, you know, after you appealed.
No, the letter was included with the appeal.
Not in the first appeal. It was in additional after I had already responded. But I think the point is that the amount of buildable is, I have 16.11 acres and Ecological Land Services says 18.32. The question is, the part that's not buildable, is my adjustment large enough? That's the biggest question for the board to decide.
Right. And then the second part is that you didn't take out for the strip of land that's going to be a road. And then the easements on the side of it that's up and coming, that's in all of your sections. There's a section of road that's going through there that the county has held aside, and you haven't reduced for that at all. The city, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. Katie Court right away that is subject to no development period on the easterly edge along the Panettone building before you get to Wells Drive and through Wells Drive going to the house. The city has got a 80-foot right-of-way to hold up where it can develop. The other thing I would like to say is that you used a lot of your comparisons at $6 and something a square foot, $5 and something a square foot. The parcel, lot 30, M4, which is 50.2 acres directly across the freeway, approximately 1 mile east of my house. You said 1/4 mile by 1 mile east, with three-way visibility, sold for $3.75 a square foot as of 10/23/21.
So what he's saying is a property 1 mile away from him that has freeway visibility and was developed, sold for $3.75 a square foot. His is not developed, no square foot availability, and you're assessing him at $5 or $4 a square foot when it's not even ready to go. So he's wondering, how did you come up with your $5 or $4 when you have a sold property very close to him that's dramatically different?
So, just for clarification, what property are you referring to that sold for $3.75 a foot?
Lot number 30 and 4 on the east side of the freeway. It's where they have just are completing a pretty big tilt-up warehouse on that parcel. It was part of the Rick Johnson is holding. It was part of the Shuck Corporation, Tackle's property. I know who owned it way back when.
Yeah.
And then the other point of clarification, just so that it's out there, is you made a couple of references to things that seem to promote some bias. One is that you are stating that there was potentially some kind of incentive or something that he received for gifting the land and the road to the city, and some kind of a kickback or something that the development was able to get as a benefit to them for gifting the land. There was no kickback. There was no benefit. He did not receive anything for that. He gifted it. That was it.
I got a correction to that. She misinformed there. There was $300,000 of tip fees, but that was it, out of the $820,000 investment. So there was $300,000 on tip fees, but there was nothing on the other. It was a pure out and out gift to the city of Richfield with no ties, period. Okay.
Just for clarification, I think we're talking about a couple different things, just so everyone understands. Wells Drive is already off of the acreage. Are we in agreement?
Wells Drive is already what?
He's saying Wells Drive is not in the acreage.
It is in the 29 acres. Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, so if If you look on my spreadsheet on page 6, I'm only valuing 27.76 acres.
Okay.
And out of that 27.76 acres, I'm also taking an additional 1.6 acres, which is 3 from the bottom, at a zero value. So I'm already taking, not only am I taking Wells Drive off, I'm taking an additional 1.6 acres for the eastern portion that will probably need to be dedicated one way or another. And you can argue that there's value there because you can work with the port and the city for relief on TIFs. That's what a normal developer would do. You know, because you are on city council or something, you might have different arrangements. I don't know. But a normal developer would get something in lieu of cash. But that's 1.6 acres. So all of the acreage, is that clear, Nikki?
I understand that, yes.
Okay. So, and back to Mr. Wells was referring to that sale. That is my sale number 2. And if you want to get a little more detail on it, on page 10 is the CoStar breakdown of that sale. And if you want to turn to page 10, it'll give you a little bit more information about it. And that's the $4,851,000, and it's 50 acres. And that's a $2.23 gross because there's like 15 acres of wetlands in that. And you can see that in my sale program.
Is that the one they were talking about, $3.75?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's the one. But if you go to page 18... 18 is a great description of it, actually. It's the printout from the taxpayer, or not the taxpayer, I'm sorry, the marketing brochure before they sold it. And is everyone on page 18?
Uh-huh.
If you look on page 30 and 4 combined, the 50.02 acres, that's the parcel that's sold. And this was the asking price was $5.6 million, and it ended up selling for $4.8
million.
Right. But as you can see on the picture on the bottom right-hand corner of page 18, lot 30 and 40, you can see how the streets around 30 and 4 are unimproved on the north and the west side. The only improved section of the street is on that far east side, and that's how they got access to the property. It'll be interesting to see if the city requires them to do any work on the north side. Mr. Wells, are you aware of, is the person that's developing that distribution center, are they going to have to do any street work on that north side of South Fifth Street?
On the north side of South Fifth, no, Sixth. Fifth, on the north side, that's another individual. The parcel ends at Fifth and goes along Dolan Road. Is it Dolan Road? And connected those two parcels that wrapped around there. There is Dolan Road between the freeway and both of those parcels, so there's I believe it's Dolan. I'm almost positive that name.
Do you know, is the city going to require them to do any street work on those two streets?
Not on Dolan. They're going to leave it that way. They're actually coming in off a 10th. See the two white buildings? Can you see the two white buildings on the south side?
Yeah.
Of the parcel, there is 10th Street comes around there to that little finger on, it must be lot 4, goes around, they have to do the improvement there, yes.
Okay.
So they will come in from the east to that parcel. Also, they have access off of Union Ridge Parkway, right off of 5th and Union Ridge Parkway. They're putting a road in there right now, which is 50 feet, just across a little wetland. So they have access to that parcel there.
So I think his question is it $1.25 per acre difference for the small amount of road improvement that it has to be done to access that land? You assessed him at $5 and they're at. So the question is why is his so much more?
$375 a square foot for their two parcels, and I'm up to $5 or
more. It would seem that his would be closer to that $375 than it would be to jump it up $1.75 per square foot.
Well, as you can see from the other two sales that I provided across the street, the smaller pieces, those are at $6.26 a foot and $6.55 a foot, right across the street from the property you're talking about. So it's a matter of size. So on this particular one, because of the irregular shape of your parcel, because there's so much rearage, you don't have quite as much street frontage, you know, $5 a square foot is certainly not out of the realm for the property right on the brand new street that you guys put in.
Lonnie, I have a question. Looking at your page 6 and you do your land breakdown and you put the value on each area, you know, each different set of properties, and you come up with a total of adding together the open space taxable value and the market value comes to $2,462,198. But on the appeal, where you've got it at $3,162,721. Am I missing something?
Let me see. There's a home on this. So that included his house. That's not under appeal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. You scared me for a minute. I was like, oh, what happened?
Well, I know. All right. That's what I'm looking. I'm thinking, wait a second here. Something's. Okay.
Yeah, this is a pretty complicated parcel. It is a little complicated. So.
And this open space taxable value, then, is that something you did not include in the, because you have the land value at 2,444,621.
Yeah. So basically what we do with open space is we put a market value on it, and then we also have the open space value. So we're running two parallel values. So the taxable will, they're only paying taxes on the $117,000 on all the land. But the question will be when they take it out to build an industrial building, they'll have to pay back taxes. So that's what's an issue.
Okay, and their taxable amount is actually $836,000 at this point.
Which includes the home. Yes, exactly.
Okay, yep. I don't have any more questions.
I'm okay. Both sides explained very well.
I've got one other comment, which will not count, and that is there's a 1.29-acre piece of property right exactly across the freeway from that big tilt-up building, Lot 30 and 4. It just closed here a week ago, and it closed for $150,000. Freeway access, freeway visibility, not freeway access, excuse me on that, freeway visibility, but that parcel just closed in the last week, 2 weeks. 1.29 acre piece. So this is something that's been brought up that wasn't brought up in the facts prior to this meeting. So I know it's got to be discounted, but it is something that's out there.
Lonnie, is there something that you can look at with the road that's coming through there and what that's dissecting through?
Yeah, so maybe, you know, after the hearing, we could look at a map and see the right-of-way that's going to be eventually provided to the city to access the southern portion, or and the northern portion, too, because I didn't mention that the northern portion of this property, his neighbor is marketing his property too, and you would think that would be developed in conjunction with that property too. So it's a little complicated property. They've got a lot of moving pieces, and Richfield is going nuts, growing, and so it's a tricky one for sure.
The only thing that I just want to double back on just slightly is that you made the comment that $5 and $4 is certainly feasible for the value of the land that he has near the road. But the comp across the street is valued differently. And I know in appraisals and assessments, you use closed sales to be your trend. I mean, I'm a mortgage loan officer, branch manager for 17 years, and every one of my appraisals, never does the appraiser say, well, it's reasonable for that house to be sold for $4 million. They have to actually go get, and they have to evaluate the properties, whether up or down off the actual sale. So where I'm a little bit out of loop here, where I just don't understand, I'm just hearing your comment, so forgive me if I'm being naive, but what something could feasibly be sold for and what a comparable actually sold for, I would think the actual sold would hold more weight than a feasible sale.
Yeah, and I hope I didn't misspeak, but sale number 3 and number 4 are fully improved, usable ground, and they sold for $6.26 a foot and $6.55 a foot. So those are some of the information, and there's a, you know, that's the data that I'm using to find out what the improved parcels are selling for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and this is not improved and no freeway visibility.
Well, it is improved. It is improved. It has a brand new street and sidewalks frontage.
That's good.
Well, are there streets in this area, in this development? In the subject
development? Which development?
The subject property.
Yes.
There is a road that runs
yes.
through it.
That's what I was talking about.
I understand that, but there's not street. It's not developed into streets at this point.
Yes. It's got a street running right through it. Sidewalk.
Other than that street, no. There's no side streets, no other.
No side streets. No. It's a traditional, all the neighbors' buildings are on the same street, so which have no side streets. It's typical for the neighborhood.
Yeah. The other thing, Ron, that the one property, sale number 3, is at 3.96 acres, and you know that they're going to sell for a higher per square foot than another, because you might have 100% usable property, and you do have. You don't have to fool with some of that stuff. And the same with sale 4. There's a very small piece of property, but we're
sure.
talking about a much larger piece of property.
Yeah, and that's why I broke it down the way I did. So and that's why the if you look at on page 6 of the spreadsheet, I mean, the total amount is $2.02 a foot for the whole gross area, which includes size, because as I was saying, the rearage, I discounted a whole bunch too. Let's see.
Is that one giving the
90? $1.21 a foot, Dan, the rearage. And that's partly due to the size and the location of it.
I can tell you that to develop an 80-foot wide street is around $100,000 a foot.
$1,000 a foot?
$100,000. So if you've got 800 feet of road to build, it cost you $800,000. Excuse me.
Right,
$1,000
million, but.
Yep, you're correct.
Need to get in the road building business.
I built one and I turned around and donated. So I have institutional knowledge in my gray matter on that subject.
Yeah.
I don't have any more questions.
Okay. I don't have any more.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the effort
and us for private problem with getting on, and I appreciate being able to have a report back and forth. I really appreciate that. And be sure and give the DOE staff kudos, because they've been exceptional to work with. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank Michelle.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, am I good to save that?
Yeah, close that hearing now.